The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. And let's start with AARP the magazine and the next installment on George Clooney, the sexiest man still alive. On the cusp of 60, the practical joking husband, actor, activist, and father of three-year-old twins is starting to feel his age. But so far, he's got it covered. Thank you. And I think we'll start with a list of his accomplishments over the last few years. So we'll start with a few Clooney highlights. And the only person in the Academy Awards history besides Walt Disney and Alfonso Cuarón to have been nominated in six different categories. In 1994, he first appeared in ER. In 2001, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Golden Globe Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy. 2001, also Ocean's 11 released, to be followed by two blockbuster sequels. 2006, Syriana. Golden Globe and Oscar Best Supporting Actor. 2006, also, Good Night and Good Luck, Oscar noms for Best Director and Best Screenplay. 2008, Michael Clayton, Oscar nomination, Best Actor. 2010, Up in the Air, Oscar nomination, Best Actor. 2012, The Descendants, Golden Globe, Best Actor in a Drama. 2013, Argo, Best Picture, Oscar for Producing. 2015, Golden Globe Cecil B. DeMille Award. 2020, starred in, directed, and co-produced The Midnight Sky. Since the pandemic struck, Clooney hasn't seen his parents or those of his wife, Amal, in person, which has been the hardest part of lockdown for him. This is an important time for them, and it's not fair, he points out. My friends will talk about their kids and how they couldn't go to prom, and I go, it's awful that they missed that. They'll be fine. It'll be a blip on their radar. People in their 80s, they're like, you know, come on, man. For him, he says, it's just a year. The last of his 50s, whatever. Clooney explains that he doesn't care about turning 60 in May, because his body basically feels fine. Yet he knows it's that time is moving on. 70 will be more of a shot to the throat, he says, about becoming closer to the age of his character in The Midnight Sky. I'm telling you, 70 will blank me up. For George, the hardest thing about getting old is not wanting to burden others, offers his friend Randy Gerber, who thinks that The Midnight Sky is a way of exploring that issue. Still, Gerber thought Clooney was posing a long-range thought experiment. When I got the request to talk to this magazine, I called George and said, is this another one of your pranks? He said, I wish it was, but it's for real. In real life, of course, burdening others remains out of the question for Clooney. The father of three-year-old twins is still deeply self-sufficient. During the pandemic, he stained the entire interior and exterior of his house and all the furniture inside. It was getting dingy, and I had buckets of stain, and I was like, well, what else am I going to do? It made me feel better. And I put chicken wire all around the dog yard because the family got a St. Bernard, an adult upgrade from Clooney's pig, which passed away decades ago. He also rewired his assistant's sewing room and did some sewing himself. I do a lot of sewing the kids' clothes, he says, and my wife's dress that tore a couple of times. I was a bachelor for a long time, and I didn't have any money, and you have to learn how to repair things, he adds. If we were on an island and you had to pick somebody to help you survive, I would pick me. Ask all of my friends, and they would pick me, too. I can make a water spout out of this and a pitcher out of that. Not that long ago, he was in his friend's 1972 Camaro, not far from his house off Laurel Canyon, when it started to overheat. They pulled into a gas station, and Clooney asked the mechanic if he could borrow a crowbar. I pulled the generator back, pulled out the fan belt, put it back on, and we were back on the roads, he said. But I'm intimidated by anything on the internet. Like, if I push a button and something goes wrong, I panic. I'm a Luddite when it comes to that. He shuns the internet and doesn't do social media because one thing Clooney does to have a private and real life is to slow time by connecting in more meaningful ways. He's busy, of course, but he's 10 minutes early for our Zoom call. Who does that? And is now already an hour over our scheduled end time. Who does that? He turns down any project that shoots over the summer when he gathers his family and friends at his estate on Lake Como in Italy and leads children to pick croissants he's planted near an asparagus patch, playing the godfather of dad jokes. He writes letters by hand, lots of them. Every year he goes away with Amal for a weekend, and they both write each kid a letter with the date on it as a record of where they were at that moment. He and Amal write each other letters every couple of months. Even in lockdown, I'll write a letter and slip it on her desk, or she'll write a letter and leave it under the pillow. I'm a big believer in letters. I have letters from Paul Newman, Walter Cronkite, Gregory Peck. I have them framed. I put them in the house. If it were a text, it would feel different. Maybe that's a generational thing, and maybe it won't be that way 20 years from now. But for me, somebody sat down and wrote it. Peck, in particular, is a role model for Clooney. He's cast Peck's grandson, Ethan, as the younger version of his character in The Midnight Sky. Modernity poses challenges, especially for George Clooney. He named his kids Alexander and Ella because I didn't want, like, weird-ass names for our kids. They're already going to have enough trouble. It's hard being the son of somebody famous and successful. Paul Newman's son killed himself. Gregory Peck's son killed himself. Bing Crosby had two sons kill themselves. I have an advantage because I'm so much older that by the time my son would feel competitive, I'll literally be gumming bread. And if his kids do take to social media to floss about their luck, he's got a plan. We'll just make fun of it enough that it will be embarrassing, he said. But Clooney is equally at full Clooney when he's over other sufficient. When his longtime assistant, Angel McConnell, mentioned owning a place in the Virgin Islands, I asked how she got it, and she sheepishly said, "My boss bought it for me." In 2013, Clooney called his 14 closest friends and invited them to dinner 6 months later. "We thought maybe he's got Obama coming for dinner, or Bono is going to perform," said Gerber. Clooney sent cars to pick up everyone, and there was security around his house. After dinner, we went to the bar area, and there were suitcases where we were all sitting. So we thought he'd chartered a plane and we were going on vacation somewhere. Instead, he pulled out a map with pens marking all the places they had been together and spoke about how much of his life was due to them. "We all opened our suitcases and there was $1 million in cash," noted Gerber, who owns several restaurants and bars and has been married to model Cindy Crawford since 1998. I said, "George, I'm not taking this." But George being George, he said, "If Randy doesn't take the money, then none of you are getting it." For some of them, it was life-changing. So I took it, and I donated it. Right after Gerber tells me the story, our phone line goes dead. He calls back a few minutes later, explaining that winds have knocked out the power in his Malibu house. George hates praise, so he probably heard me say great things about him, and he cut the power, he says. Gerber and Clooney, who built houses next to each other on a property they bought in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, and called Casamigos, made a tequila with the same name to stock their houses and bring to friends. They produced it in a cheap, old-school whiskey bottle and eventually found an importer so they could bring it with them to California. The two of them and a third partner sold it in 2017 to the liquor giant Diageo for some $1 billion. 4 years after we started the company, our return on investment was literally $1 billion, said Clooney. For three guys, it was crazy. I think we eventually each put about $700,000 in, though by that time, he had already profited by far more than that. He didn't invest his windfall or any of the up to $100 million he might wind up making as a spokesperson for Nespresso. It's in a bank. I make 1% or less on the money. To me, the stock market is like Vegas without the glass of tequila sitting next to you. It's none of the fun and all of the risks. Well, there's one more section to this article on Clooney, which we will tackle next time. Now, moving on to an article from Health Immunity, Protect Yourself. Vaccines, Myths, and Facts. Vaccines for children and adults have led to controversy in recent years. What side effects might the shots cause? Is it okay for certain groups to skip them altogether? Or is that dangerous? Here's a primer. And this article is by Tammy Worth. Once hailed as life-saving wonders of modern technology, vaccines are now more likely to be a source of suspicion and angry playground debate. To sort out fact from fiction, we took a look at the scientific research to date on vaccines, but consult your doctor to decide what vaccines are right for you. Vaccines cause autism. That's a myth. A small 1998 study by Andrew Wakefield claimed to find a link between the measles, mumps, and rubella, MMR, vaccine, and autism, setting off a panic that led to dropping immunization rates and subsequent outbreaks. Since then, the study has been deemed flawed, and it was retracted by the journal that published it. In 2004, the Institute of Medicine released a report that found no scientific evidence of a link between the MMR vaccine and autism. In September 2010, the CDC published similar results. It's more risky for your child to not be vaccinated, said Carrie Nelson, MD, former chair of the Commission on Health of the Public and Science for the American Academy of Family Physicians. Some vaccines contain mercury. That's a fact. Thimerosal, a preservative containing about 50% mercury, prevents contamination by bacteria. It's found in most flu shots, according to the CDC. However, since 2001, it has not been present in routine vaccines for children younger than six, and both the flu shot and some vaccines for adults and older children can be found in thimerosal-free versions, or with only trace amounts. Vaccines can have side effects. Fact. Vaccines are not risk-free. The most common side effects are soreness at the injection site and fever, which are best treated with acetaminophen or ibuprofen. Less common, seizures, defined as jerking or starting. Risks vary depending on the vaccine. For example, 1 in 14,000 children suffered a seizure after getting the DTaP shot. It's 1 in 3,000 with the MMR vaccine. Some kids with certain medical conditions might be at higher risk of serious side effects, in which case the CDC recommends they proceed with caution. However, most side effects are mild, such as the low-grade fever and redness around the injection site. You're safe if everyone else is vaccinated. That's a myth. Generally, yes. However, when groups of unvaccinated people congregate, it puts others at risk. Often, like-minded, unvaccinated families by choice attend the same preschools, play schools, and schools, thus making it very easy for vaccine-preventable diseases to spread, said Ari Brown, MD. And some people can't be vaccinated because of health or age restrictions. Plus, you can catch some germs like tetanus and hepatitis A from contaminated soil or food, not other people. Vaccines guarantee perfection. Protection, a myth. Vaccines are not 100% guarantee you won't get sick, but they are a huge help. Take the flu vaccine. You may still get the flu, but it is likely to be less severe. or take the chickenpox vaccine. Dr. Brown said it is 80% effective against preventing infection and 100% effective against serious illness. For the best protection, experts rely on herd immunity. The more people who are vaccinated in the population, the better chances of protecting everyone, including people who can't get shots because of age, health, or religious reasons. Too many shots weaken immunity. That's a myth. Dr. Brown says it's quite the contrary. Each dose allows the body to mount an immune response and make defense antibodies so the body can fight off a real infection if it showed up, she says. Children are given multiple vaccinations at a time to provide as much protection as possible. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and the American Academy of Pediatrics recommend that vaccinations be given to children simultaneously when appropriate. Vaccine are for kids only. That's a myth. There are numerous vaccines that can help keep adolescents and adults, both young and old, healthy. Most obvious is the flu shot, which is given annually. College students should get a meningitis vaccine before living in a dorm, and elderly adults can benefit from pneumonia vaccines. Adults also need boosters for tetanus and pertussis. Pregnant women can't get vaccines. That's a myth. Well, this is partially true. According to the American Academy of Family Physicians, pregnant women should not be given vaccines for varicella, chickenpox, or MMR. But the inactivated flu vaccine is safe and recommended for pregnant women. Dr. Brown says, during pregnancy, women's immune systems are compromised, making them more susceptible to infection. But many are not getting the flu shot, the CDC says, that at last estimate, only 11% of pregnant women got one. Dr. Brown says the shot triggers the mother's antibody production, protecting her baby through the first 6 months of life. Natural immunity is better. That's a fact. Dr. Nelson says infections are more likely than vaccines to trigger lifelong immunity. An exception is the flu. The strain changes every year. However, the problem with natural immunity is the risk of complications. Chickenpox can lead to encephalitis, pneumonia, or if kids scratch too much, skin infections like MRSA. A polio infection can cause permanent paralysis. Mumps can cause deafness and hemophilus, influenza type B, HIB, brain damage. Those are the chances people take if they defer the vaccine, Dr. Nelson says. And finally, vaccines aren't necessary because disease has been eradicated. That's a myth. The only infectious human disease that has been eradicated worldwide is smallpox, according to the World Health Organization. Even today, there are outbreaks of conditions like measles, mumps, and pertussis. Vaccines can protect you when you're around those who are not vaccinated. According to the WHO, the winter of 2019 saw a 300% surge in cases over the previous year, made possible because vaccination rates in more than 100 countries, including the U.S., fell below the 95% threshold. What you need and when. Contrary to popular belief, immunization is not just for kids. Here's a list of some of the most important shots to get throughout adulthood. The recent surge of vaccine-preventable diseases is a comeback story that deserves no cheers. Measles, considered officially eliminated from the United States back in 2000, has reappeared with outbreaks in 31 states in 2019. These headlines may have you running to double-check that your kids' vaccinations are up to date, but don't forget your own. People need to update their vaccinations when they're adults, too. In fact, a recent study showed that grown-ups often miss important shots, partly because docs forget to review their vax status. The result, adults make up more than 95% of the 30,000 Americans who die of vaccine-preventable diseases each year. We went to the experts to nail down the shots every healthy woman should get. Influenza. How often? Once a year, even if you're pregnant. The newer vaccines offers immunity against the four strains of the virus deemed most likely to be circulating during flu season. It's also available as a nasal spray. Another version, which contains the top three likely virus strains, is also an effective option. You can get it as an intradermal injection, a shallow shot, just into the skin, if the traditional long needles freak you out, and as an egg-free injection if you're allergic. Tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis. How often? All adults should get a tetanus, diphtheria booster every 10 years, plus a one-time dose of Tdap, which includes protection against pertussis, whooping cough. Though most of us got the pertussis vaccine as kids, immunity can wear off. The CDC now also advises pregnant women to get Tdap during the third trimester. Measles, mumps, rubella, MMR. How often? Adults born after 1957 who didn't get vaccinated as children need an MMR shot now. If you're unsure about your status, the CDC recommends a booster as a precaution in light of the recent outbreaks. It's cheaper than a blood test to check for antibodies, and there's no harm in getting it again. MMR is also imperative for anyone traveling internationally. Also worth a shot, hepatitis B. If you're not monogamous or if you're diabetic, be sure to ask your doctor about it getting this one. Zoster, shingles. Get it if you're 50 or older and have weak immunity, making you more at risk for shingles, a rash that's a reactivation of chickenpox. But insurance doesn't cover the vaccine until age 60. Varicella, chickenpox. Never had chickenpox or the vaccine before? This one is for you. If you're unsure, a blood test can check for antibodies. And finally, human papillomavirus. Consider it if you're newly single after years of being in a committed relationship. Expect to pay out of pocket. Insurance covers it only through age 26. Now let's look at the Essential Retirement Guide. The article for today is How to Bridge the Income Gap, Making Ends Meet While You Delay Social Security Benefits. Even though you may be ready to retire at age 60 or 65, you may have determined that your best option is to wait to claim your Social Security benefits until age 67 or even 70 to maximize them. In this scenario, you may be able to accomplish both goals at once. The key, finding a way to make up for income you would otherwise be receiving while you wait to claim your benefits. Here are a few options available to you to help you bridge the income gap. Rely on your retirement savings. You may think that the worst thing for your retirement plan is to tap into savings, like your individual retirement account, IRA, before absolutely necessary. But many financial experts now recommend turning to those savings vehicles first, if doing so will help you reap the benefits of delaying Social Security. By delaying claiming your Social Security benefits, you will increase your monthly payments by up to 8% per year until age 70. That increase guarantees you a significantly higher income for the rest of your life, no matter how your investments are doing. Think of it this way. Say your benefit at a full retirement age of 66 is $1,500 per month. By waiting 4 years until age 70, your benefit will be $1,980 per month. To cover your income needs while you delay, you would withdraw an extra $18,000 each year from savings. But when you turn 70, you can stop withdrawing that amount, turn to your Social Security, and receive a guaranteed extra $5,760 per year. Find new income streams. Many retirees pick up part-time work that helps pay the bills but doesn't require them to clock in every day. For example, a retired teacher may want to sign up to substitute teach, since they can always turn down work if they don't want it. If you worked in the trades, maybe you want to offer handyman services in your neighborhood to keep money flowing. Doctors, nurses, lawyers, and other professionals may find lucrative per diem gigs, allowing them to work just a few days a month without a regular contract. Keep health care affordable. If you have stopped working but still aren't eligible for Medicare, you may qualify for Medicaid, the government program that provides free coverage to people with low incomes. You may also qualify for a lower-cost plan on the insurance marketplace established by the Affordable Care Act. Check out the options available to you at Medicaid and Medicare's website, healthcare.gov. Getting on Medicaid or another low-cost health care plan can help reduce your health care costs in the interim. Medicaid assistance can also prevent you from taking on medical debt that could force you to rely on your Social Security benefits earlier than you had planned. Now we have time for a few more of the TV shows that changed America. Tim Apello takes his picks of the TV series that have had the greatest influence on our collective culture, and by extension, on each of us. So just left laugh out loud funny. The Carol Burnett Show, 1967 to 78, it's now a streaming hit. I dare anybody over 45 not to laugh their pants off at Tim Conway and Harvey Korman's dentist sketch, Burnett tells AARP. Laugh-In, 1968 to 1973. The sketchy comedy show spawned such catchphrases as Sock It To Me. Monty Python's Flying Circus, 1969 to 1974. The Pythons started, BBC boss complained that the clowns were continually going over the edge of what is acceptable. Viewers followed. Saturday Night Live, 1975 to present. The cast has tapped squarely into the zeitgeist for 45 years now, offering a live comedy high-wire act with no net that has showcased a who's who of the funniest actors in America, among them Bill Murray, Tina Fey, Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell. Cheers! 1982 to 1993, who knew that bar life in Boston, where everybody knows your name, could be so funny? Seinfeld, 1989 to 98, a sitcom about nothing more than human foibles and the infuriating minutiae of everyday life on Manhattan's Upper West Side. Folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.